M-A-I-N-M-E-N-U.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Main Menu, ACB Radio's look at technology from a blindness perspective. Well, summer here in the Southwest has pretty much begun. Here this week, it's April 18th on Main Menu. This week on Main Menu, we bring a familiar voice back to Main Menu, that of Dave Williams, who now wears a hat for Dolphin. He'll be talking to us all about Smart How, Pocket How, Supernova, and much, much more. Would you like to actually be able to download Main Menu and Main Menu Live as a podcast? We would love for you to do that. The feed addresses are www.acbradio.org/podcasts/mainmenu, and if you want the Main Menu Live show, it's www.acbradio.org/podcasts/mainmenulive. Well, without further ado, let's get started with our pre-recorded presentation from Dave Williams, and then we'll bring him on live. That's right, we'll wake him up in the middle of the night in the UK. He'll come on to Main Menu Live and talk to all of you all about Dolphin's product line. We'll talk to him a little bit about what's changed in his life, too, since he's left ACB Radio, and allow you to call in and ask any questions that you have of Dave Williams. That's all coming up this week on ACB Radio's Main Menu and Main Menu Live.
Hello, I'm Dave Williams from Dolphin Computer Access, and thank you very much to Jeff Bishop for inviting Dolphin back on to Main Menu this week. It's great to be back on the program as always. Last time Dolphin was on Main Menu, I provided an overview of Dolphin's range of mobile products, including the HAL screen reader, available not only on CD, but also on a USB thumb drive, which is available to take around and plug into any Windows PC. We also talked a little bit about Pocket PC and smartphone devices, and I provided you with a very brief introduction to Pocket HAL, which is Dolphin's fully-fledged screen reader for Pocket PC, PDAs, and I also gave you a sneak preview of Smart HAL, which is Dolphin's screen reader for the Windows mobile smartphone. Now, I was listening to Main Menu last week, and there seemed to be a little bit of confusion about what constitutes a Pocket PC and what constitutes a smartphone, so hopefully I can help provide some clarification there. If you're looking for a smart, easy-to-use, but fully functional mobile phone, then you need look no further than a Windows mobile smartphone. It allows you to make phone calls, obviously, send and receive text messages. Smartphones do allow you to access the internet, and typically smartphones have a 3x4 candy bar style telephone keypad and are really designed for one-handed operation in the way that you would ordinarily use a mobile phone. This can make typing text messages or seeing who that missed call is from without having to put down your cane or stop with your guide dog, whatever that may be. So one-handed use really is the intent of a mobile phone. You don't have to use it that way, but that's certainly the way it's been designed. Smartphones also allow you to listen to multimedia files, such as files recorded in the Windows Media format or MP3. So, of course, you can listen to music, audiobooks, and podcasts. Typically, Windows mobile smartphones are smaller and lighter than a PDA, and so it's ideal for personal use. I should say, actually, that some Windows Mobile smartphones do in fact feature a QWERTY keypad, but generally they tend toward the typical telephone style keypad favoured by mobile phone users. The boundary between what is a smartphone and what is a PDA does seem to be blurring somewhat, but generally with Windows Mobile 5, that's the operating system powering today's smartphones, you'll find that the smartphone devices do not have a touch screen, and they tend to have this telephone keypad, which of course everybody will already be familiar with. Just to provide some contrast with Pocket PC, I'm not actually going to be demonstrating a PDA in this segment, but just so that people have an appreciation for the distinction between Windows Mobile smartphones and Windows Mobile PDA devices. A PDA really is an effective solution if you're wanting to be productive on the move. Windows Mobile PDAs typically feature Windows Mobile applications such as Word Mobile, Excel Mobile, and PowerPoint Mobile. Although it's worth pointing out that in Windows Mobile 6, the manufacturers of the devices do have the option of including the ability to view and edit Office documents on the smartphone too. Generally speaking, PDAs will feature a QWERTY keyboard. QWERTY keyboards are not exclusive to PDAs. As we've already said, you can find smartphones with QWERTY keyboards, but generally you would not find a PDA with a telephone keypad. A PDA really is, as the Pocket PC title suggests, a pocket computer. And generally you'll find that PDAs have more memory and a slightly faster processor. Windows Mobile PDAs do have a touchscreen, and when using the Pocket HAL software, we don't impede the functionality of that touchscreen, so that if a colleague or spouse needs to access your PDA for whatever reason, then that's still possible. PDAs are really designed to be operated with two hands. Typically a sighted user would hold it in one hand and then perhaps use a stylus to tap the screen with the other hand. Or if the device has a QWERTY keyboard, you might sit the device in your palms with your thumbs resting over the integrated QWERTY keyboard in order to input text. So if you're somebody that needs to work on the move, then really a Pocket PC is probably for you. And to reflect the additional functionality that you find with a PDA, you'll tend to find that the price of a PDA is a little bit more than that of a Windows Mobile smartphone. In this segment, we are going to be focusing on the Windows Mobile smartphone, and more specifically, Dolphin's screen reader for Windows Mobile smartphone, SmartHAL. Now, in spite of everything that I've just said, in February this year, Microsoft unveiled Windows Mobile 6, and this is the next incarnation of the Windows Mobile platform. Windows Mobile 6 actually comes in three flavors: Windows Mobile 6 Classic, Standard, and Professional. And I'm delighted to say that SmartHAL not only runs on Windows Mobile 5 for smartphones, but it also works on Windows Mobile 6 Standard. Windows Mobile 6 standard devices tend to be few and far between at the moment. However, the operating system has been launched, and the manufacturers are currently busy beavering away producing their Windows Mobile 6 standard devices. And Dolphin have been in testing with Windows Mobile 6, and we're glad to be able to confirm that SmartHAL will in fact work on Windows Mobile 6. So SmartHAL future-proofing you there. So let's talk about some of the benefits of the Windows Mobile smartphone. Windows Mobile smartphones do include software that perhaps you already know from the Windows platform, such as Windows Media Player and Internet Explorer. So the devices are using standard controls such as menus, checkboxes, edit areas, and so on. So you're almost familiar with the smartphone before you've even used it. the home screen, which is the smartphone equivalent to the today screen found on Pocket PC devices, that's really your starting point, and that's customizable. So you have shortcuts there to your most recently used applications, giving you quick and easy access to the features and functions that you use most frequently. You can navigate your phone really quickly, as pretty much all the menus on the Windows mobile smartphone are clearly numbered, so that you can use the numeric keys on your mobile phone to quickly jump to the options that you want to get to, so you don't have to arrow up and down all the menus. And I'll demonstrate shortly how we've extended that concept into Smart HAL's intuitive parameter modes. Smartphones also include the ability to use T9 predictive text to very quickly search your contacts. So if you're somebody like me who has quite a few contacts stored in the phone, I think I've got 400 in this particular handset that we'll come to shortly, to find those contacts could take a bit of time if you were just sort of arrowing up and down. And what the smartphone interface allows me to do is to very quickly just use the numeric keys to enter letters to quickly locate the contact that I'm seeking. So again, we'll demonstrate that here shortly. As I've already mentioned, Windows Media is pre-installed, so you can listen to all your favourite music artists, podcasts and audiobooks straight from your mobile phone. And the phone we'll be demonstrating today is actually sporting a 2.5mm headphone jack, so really the sound is as big as your headphones. You can choose some off-the-shelf headphones, and with a little adapter get some great quality sound from some of these tiny mobile phones. Of course, the primary purpose of a mobile phone is to stay in touch, and the Windows Mobile smartphone allows you to obviously call your contacts, read and write text messages, check email, or even use MSN Instant Messenger to stay in contact. And for instant updates, if you have access to a Microsoft Exchange server or equivalent service, then push email is supported on the smartphone. And essentially, push email is a way to receive email instantly without your device having to go online and check for email every 30 minutes or how frequently you want. Push email, basically, you get the email instantly. Active Sync is free software from Microsoft which provides an interface between your Windows computer and your Windows mobile smartphone. And of course, this allows you to synchronize contacts, calendar, email, tasks, and so on. And when your device is connected to your computer, you can, of course, go to My Computer and your device will appear there, almost like another drive on your computer, so you can copy and paste files to and from your phone. Windows Mobile smartphones allow you to save time by recharging your phone using the same cable that you use for ActiveSync. So when your Windows Mobile smartphone is connected to your PC and you're synchronizing all that data, your battery is also getting a bit of a recharge, so no excuses for having a low battery anymore. And 9 times out of 10 you tend to find that is done using a standard mini USB cable. These are cables that you often use to connect MP3 players and similar devices, digital cameras come to mind, to your PC. And I have to say that many are actually Windows mobile smartphones. HTC Star Trek, or the singular 3125, is a really cool, sleek flip phone, which a lot of people find very attractive. The Motorola Q with the QWERTY keypad is very popular in the United States, or even the Virgin Lobster, odd name for a phone, but has digital radio and digital TV built in, that device available in the UK. And of course, Windows mobile smartphones do have the backing of some of the best known names in technology, such as Microsoft, Sprint, AT&T, formerly Singular, Samsung, Motorola, Virgin, T-Mobile, and many more. And if everything that you get in a smartphone package isn't enough for you, because it's Windows Mobile, there's a huge selection of third-party applications available on the internet, some of which are free, some of which are very low cost, which allow you to extend the range of functionality available in your smartphone. So, for example, one of the applications I quite like on the smartphone is the Core Media Player, which allows me to play Ogg Vorbis audio files. Windows Live Search seems to work, that allows you to figure out routes between various zip codes. And there are many more applications besides, which really go beyond the scope of this presentation this week. So perhaps you're struggling with how to choose a smartphone. I know it's a question that I get asked most frequently. I'm not sure which mobile phone to get. Which Windows Mobile smartphone do I need? Well, the requirement, the system requirement for SmartHAL is that the device is running Windows Mobile 5 for smartphones, not to be confused with Windows Mobile 5 for Pocket PC. So that's Windows Mobile 5 for smartphones or Windows Mobile 6 standard. These are, of course, mainstream devices available at competitive prices from mainstream suppliers. So Dolphin ourselves don't actually supply mobile phones. We can't really compete with the mobile phone operators who are going to be able to offer you a much better deal. So you should talk to your mobile phone supplier to find out what options they have available. And you might want to send them a copy of the SmartHAL compatibility list so that they can tell you which devices from that list they have available. Devices are available from AT&T, Dopart, HTC, iMate, Motorola, O2, Qtech, Samsung, T-Mobile, Vodafone and Virgin, amongst others. So when choosing a Windows Mobile smartphone, there are a couple of ways you can pay for it. You can, of course, have the device subsidized and take out a service contract with your mobile phone operator. The cost of a Windows Mobile smartphone will really very much depend on how you get it, and there are advantages and disadvantages to the various approaches. So if you get your Windows Mobile smartphone on a contract, so you have a monthly service plan with a mobile phone operator, then often you'll find that the initial cost of the Windows Mobile smartphone will be heavily subsidized, and so typically you pay a lot less for the device at the time that you take out the contract. So that's certainly the advantage. The disadvantage, of course, is you are then locked into a contract which may be 12, 18 or even 24 months, which may be ideal for some people if you know the sort of plan that you want, or you find a plan that's appropriate for your circumstances. In the UK now, it is actually possible to get Windows Mobile smartphones for less than £100 or a couple of hundred dollars in the United States, and you may find them for much less. I've heard of people getting smartphones for just a couple of dollars when they've taken out a mobile phone service contract. Another way to get a Windows Mobile smartphone is on pay-as-you-go. So effectively, you're buying your mobile phone airtime up front. The advantage of that, of course, is often it's easier to manage the cost of your mobile phone bills, because essentially you're buying credit ahead of time. But the disadvantage is, of course, that you will pay more initially for the smartphone. It won't be subsidized because, of course, you're not taking out a mobile phone service agreement. Some SmartHAL users who want the maximum choice in terms of which device they use often decide to buy a phone SIM free. So this is a phone that's not tied to any particular cellular operator, and you just get the phone in the box, and then you decide which mobile phone operator you want to connect it to. And in the case of GSM phones, it may be possible to put an existing mobile phone SIM card into your new handset so that you don't have to change your number or go to the trouble of changing network. So once you've settled on a Windows Mobile smartphone, you can go to the yourdolphin.com website, click on products and SmartHAL, and try it now. And you can download a free 30-day demonstration copy of SmartHAL. Once you've downloaded it, you simply connect your phone to your computer using ActiveSync. So you download ActiveSync or install it from the CD that's supplied with your Windows mobile smartphone and establish a partnership between your computer and your mobile device. Once that's done, you simply run the Smart HAL installer that you've got from the Dolphin website. So once you've got Smart HAL on your phone, you can try it for 30 days, after which time it'll go into a 10-minute restricted demo mode, which means you need to restart your handset after 10 minutes if you wish to continue using Smart HAL. Of course, you can continue to use your handset without Smart HAL after the 10 minutes. And if you decide you like it and you want to buy it, you simply contact the Dolphin sales team or your Dolphin dealer. After you've placed your order, Dolphin or your Dolphin dealer will supply you with an unlock code, which will also be sent to you via email. And once you've received that, you simply reconnect your smartphone to your computer, run the Dolphin installer from Start Programs, Dolphin Mobile Smart HAL, and when prompted, you just input the unlock code. And then, of course, you have unlimited use of Smart HAL. The price for Smart HAL is £175 in the UK or $295 in the United States, and that includes two lives. So if something happens to your phone, something catastrophic, or you need to activate Smart HAL on a different phone, that's absolutely fine. You can do that, and you don't need to contact Dolphin. And after 6 months, we give you those two lives back, and that happens automatically. So essentially, what Dolphin are saying is that the Smart HAL software is licensed to you, the user, not to a particular device. So if you lose your phone or decide you want to upgrade your phone, there's no need to pay a cross-grade fee to transfer your Smart HAL license onto a new handset. So let's go on then to talk about what voices you can expect Smart HAL to speak with. Well, I'm delighted to say that the Eloquence speech synthesizer that you're probably familiar with from desktop screen access products such as JAWS, WindowEyes and HAL is available with Smart HAL. So the familiar Eloquence speech synthesizer synthesizers from Acapella. So essentially you choose your synthesizer when you download Smart HAL. What I'm finding in talking to people is that often many users are already familiar with Eloquence, and that tends to be the one that people are choosing simply because it's the voice that people are most comfortable with already. So let's get started with Smart HAL. I've powered on my Windows Mobile 5 smartphone, which happens to be an iMate SP5M, and like all Windows Mobile devices, it just takes a few seconds to boot here. And Smart HAL will notify us with a little startup sound that Smart HAL is loading. There it is. So in its default state, Smart HAL will run automatically each time your smartphone is switched on. And if at this point we had been presented with any error messages during startup, such as if you don't have a SIM card installed or something like that, then of course Smart HAL will read those messages to you.
No upcoming appointments. Left soft start, right soft contacts.
So there we are. We've heard some speech from the phone, so we know that Smart HAL is loaded, and we're all ready to go. So I'll just describe this particular handset. Obviously, your mileage may vary depending on which particular device you have. But this device is the iMate SP5M. On the front surface of the phone at the top, you have, of course, the earpiece. Below that is the screen. And below that is the keypad, the top row of the keypad. Four buttons, left soft, home, back, WriteSoft. I'll talk about soft keys in a second. Then we have some shortcut buttons. The leftmost allows us to launch Internet Explorer. And then we have three media buttons for controlling Windows Media Player. Below that, going from left to right, we have the call button, a five-way joystick, and the end button. And below that, we have the standard telephone keypad, which include the numbers 1 to 9, and then the 0, of course, in the centre at the lower edge of the phone. And to the left of the 0, we have, of course, the star key, and to the right of the 0, what we in the UK call the hash key, and you guys in the US call pound. This particular handset has a dot at either edge of the number 5 key, making orientation really easy. On the front edge of the phone, I have two connection options. There is a mini USB socket, which allows me to connect the device to the recharger for recharging the battery, or connecting to the PC for synchronization with Microsoft Outlook or for exchanging data. And of course, while it's connected to the PC, it is of course recharging there as well from your PC. The other connection on the front edge of this device is the audio jack, and I have this device connected to the mixer so you can hear it, but I'll just unplug this so you can hear it not connected to the mixer. The speaker's pretty good, pretty clear, pretty crisp, but I think for the purposes of recording, it's probably better if I have this connected to the mixer.
Profile. Text messages. 0.
On the right-hand edge of the phone, we have one key, which is a shortcut key. That's for the camera. That's right at the top there. And on the left, we have a little rocker for the volume for the phone. So I can just control the phone's
decrease
volume.
Decrease volume. Left soft. Decrease volume. Decrease volume.
So
increase volume. Increase volume.
So you can hear me doing that there. And then just above that is another shortcut key, which takes us to the voice recorder application. And then on the back of the phone, of course, is the lens for the camera. I don't make a lot of use of the camera, or sometimes it can be fun to take photographs of things and send them to friends and say, what was that? Of course, the cover for the battery, which can be easily removed. And inside there, we have a 1 gigabyte SD card, but it is possible to get different size cards, and some of the smartphones allow you to hot swap the card, so you don't need to remove the battery if you're wanting to change that. That's a physical description of this particular device. As you can hear there, Smart Hal is talking using the familiar Eloquent speech synthesizer. When Smart Hal is running, the home key on the smartphone, so on this particular device, that's the second key along from the left on the top row of the keypad, your home key may be in a different place. In fact, it's quite likely that it will be in a different place. And basically, we use the home key as the Dolphin modifier key. So what that means is, if I press it once, it makes the other keys on the phone hot so that they will perform a Smart Hal related function. If I press it again, it will perform its original function, which is to take us to the home screen. So I'm just going to press the home key once.
Dolphin.
And you heard the phone say Dolphin. Press it again.
Home.
And it says home. We're already at the home screen, so nothing has happened. But of course, if we were anywhere else in the smartphone user interface, then of course we would be returned to the home screen. And we'll come on to describing the home screen shortly. Just want to show you a very quick Smart Hal command. If I press the Dolphin key, which again is this second key along on the top row of my keypad from the working from left to right, and I'm going to follow that by pressing the WriteSoft key, which is the rightmost key on that top row. So I'm going to press Dolphin and then the WriteSoft key.
Dolphin. Signal 62%, operator orange, battery 79%, headset.
So straight away we've read the status indicators. So we're told about the battery strength of the phone, we're told about the network operator that I happen to be using at the moment, which is orange, and we're also told about the battery strength. And because we've got a cable plugged into the headphone jack here on the device, Smart Hal believes that we're using a headset. In fact, the smartphone believes that we're using a headset, and Smart Hal is correctly reporting that. So that's why I heard headset. If I pull out the cable and repeat that, so press the Dolphin key.
Dolphin. Signal 62%, operator orange battery 79%.
So you can hear there that the status has changed, and Smart Hal will tell you about all the important status indicators. So this particular phone, for example, has Wi-Fi on board and Bluetooth, and if those wireless radios were switched on, then of course they would be included in the status announcements, as would new message alerts and missed calls. So let's explore the home screen here. At the top I have shortcuts to recently used applications.
Up.
So I've arrowed to the top here.
Left.
And I've gone to the left, and these applications are arranged in a line, in a horizontal line, working from left to right. So I'm just going to arrow across here.
Task Manager. Settings. Messaging. File Manager.
Okay, so you can hear some of the most recently used applications there, and as I arrow down, it'll take us into the body of the home screen, which contains information. It's kind of like the Pocket PC Today screen. It gives us a bit of a snapshot of what's going on in our life at the moment.
No upcoming appointments.
Well, not a lot by the sounds of things, because I've got no upcoming appointments.
Profile. Headset.
The profile is currently headset. That's happened automatically because, as I indicated, the cable is plugged in here from the mixer.
Text messages. Zero.
Text messages zero. That's not because I haven't got any text messages. It's because I haven't got any new text messages. So I've read all my text messages at the moment.
Down.
And if I arrow down again, we can hear that we're at the bottom. And so Smart Hal is down. I'm just using the little joystick here just above the number 2 on this particular phone to navigate the screen. So I can, of course, press the center of the joystick, select on any of these items to open them. So if I wanted to open settings, I could just go back up to my recently used applications.
No. File Manager. Messaging. Settings.
Okay, and then I'm going to press select.
Settings. One phone left soft done.
You've heard there, settings has opened. One is phone, and the left soft key now has changed. So the soft keys are what we call context sensitive. Basically, their assignment, their function, their definition changes depending on the situation. So if I go back to the home screen, so I'm just going to press the back button, which is immediately to the right of my home key on this phone.
Settings, left soft, start right soft, contact.
Okay, so I've gone back to the home screen, and the left soft key is start, the right soft key is contact. And if I forget what my soft keys are at any time and I need to know, then I can just press the Dolphin key followed by left soft, and the soft key assignments are red. So I'm just going to press the Dolphin key.
Dolphin.
Followed by left soft key.
Left soft start, right soft contacts.
I want to go back into settings, so I'm just going to press select because that's where we were.
Settings. One phone left soft done.
If you forget where the focus is at any time, if you've forgotten just where you are in the interface, you can press the Dolphin key followed by select, and it'll read it for you.
Dolphin. Settings. One phone.
We're told that we're in settings, and the first option there is phone. I can arrow down this list.
Two sounds. Three profiles. Four home screen. Five clock. Six connections. 7 security.
As you can hear, each of the items in this list are numbered. I can either use the digits on my telephone keypad to immediately jump into any of these submenus, or I can use the navigation key to move up and down and then press select on the item that I want. So I'm just going to press number 2 here to go into sounds.
2 sounds. Ringtone. Windows default selected list box left soft done right soft menu.
So we're in the sounds dialog now, and we've got options for controlling the different sounds that you'll find in Smart Hal. So we're in the sounds settings now, and you'll find options here for controlling different sounds that you'll find in your smartphone. So if I arrow down.
Reminders. Alarm. 4 selected list box. New email. Arpeggio selected list box.
I can adjust the sound for each of these different events. So I want to change my ringer, so I'm going to go back up.
Ringtone. Windows default selected list box.
Okay, so at the moment it's on the Windows default. So if I arrow left and right, I can change that. So I'm just going to press left.
Trill ring selected.
Okay, and that's previewing the ringtone.
Tremor selected.
Tremor.
Sunny day selected.
Sunny day.
Standard selected.
Standard.
Prevail selected. Mystic selected. La-di-da-di selected. Jig selected. Gossip selected. Fantasy selected. None selected. Vibrate. Windows default selected.
You can, of course, add your own. But basically, Smart Hal, as you would expect, talking you through there, reading each of the names of the ringtones as we move through them. So I'm just going to back out of this now, or I can use the soft keys. Forgotten what the soft keys are, so what do I do? Press the dolphin key, followed by left soft.
Left soft, done, right soft, menu.
Done, I'm going to press left soft then.
Left soft. Settings. Two sounds left soft done.
Back to the level above, which was the main settings list, so I'm just going to press left soft done again.
Left. Settings left soft start right soft contacts.
And we've gone back to the home screen. As you can hear, left soft is start and right soft is contacts. If I press the dolphin key and do nothing.
Dolphin.
Okay, so I've hit the dolphin key and I've got interrupted.
Live mode.
There you go, live mode. That's eloquence for you. But yeah, we're back into live mode. So basically, you've got 5 seconds to press another key. If you find that that's not long enough, then you can turn that auto timeout feature off in the Smart Hal control panel. The only exception to these Smart Hal hotkeys is while the phone is ringing, if someone's calling you, you can press the right soft key and Smart Hal will read the caller display information, the identity of the incoming call. If that person's number happens to be stored in your smartphone's contacts, then Smart Hal will say the name and read the telephone number, and if the number is not stored in your contacts, then Smart Hal will just read the number. That's assuming it's not withheld, and then of course you can choose whether or not you want to answer or ignore the call. Dolphin key followed by number one will open the Smart Hal control panel.
Dolphin. Hal control panel. One speech left soft done right soft menu.
This is where you would go if you want to change any of your Smart Hal settings. We've kept this very simple. You've basically got 4 categories. Speech.
2 announce.
2 announce.
3 advanced.
3 advanced.
4 tools.
4 tools. And we can go and have a little explore in each of those.
One speech. Speech. One on off.
Okay, so obviously turn the speech on and off. It's not going to be a lot of use to us if we turn it off, so we'll leave it on for now.
Two volume,
which you can of course adjust with a hotkey, and we'll look at that in a second.
Three speed.
Three, you can adjust the speed of the synthesizer. I know for some of you this speech will be painfully slow, and for some of you it will be a little bit fast, so you can of course adjust the speed.
Four character echo.
Character echo, like any screen reader, you can have characters echoed, characters and words, or none of the above.
5 verbosity.
Verbosity controls how much speech you get, so things like index information. When you open a menu, do you want to be told how many items are in that menu? And also, do you want to be given some help information about how to interact with various controls? So we've got 4 levels of verbosity in there.
6 volume during call.
And, of course, you can adjust the volume during a call. By default, the speech is off during a call, but if you decide you want the speech during a call, you can, of course, turn that up. Okay, so that's all the options there. I'm going to hit back to take us back out to the top level of the control panel.
Hal control panel. Once, to announce.
The second category is announce.
Announce. One capitals window.
If you're using the Orpheus speech synthesizer, you can have capitals indicated with a beep rather than the word caps.
Two punctuation.
Punctuation. None, some, most, and all.
Three number announcement.
Number announcement provides you with the ability to choose whether numbers are announced as single digits, in pairs, or as whole numbers.
For monitor marker selected, checkbox, press enter to toggle.
So an example of some verbosity there, selected checkbox, press enter to toggle. Monitor markers are basically bits of information that are spoken automatically on the screen. So things like the soft keys, if you turn off monitor markers, then your soft keys won't be automatically reported each time you move into a different area of the smartphone interface.
Five blank lines selected, checkbox, press enter to toggle.
Blank lines, so useful when you're reading emails or on web pages. Do you want to hear blank when you're arrowing down pages that have blank lines, or do you just want to hear silence? So checkbox to control that.
Six links unselected, checkbox, press enter to toggle.
Same with links, and so that's the announcement options. Just going to punch back.
Al control panel. Three advanced.
And then take us down to advanced.
Advanced. One synthesizer window.
Okay, so in advanced, we can adjust the synthesizer options. One allows us to choose which synthesizer we're currently
using. Two, configure synthesizer.
Two, we can configure the synthesizer, so we can adjust the sample rate if the synthesizer supports that. Most people will be quite happy to leave that at the default.
Three, voice.
Three will let you change the voice, and with Eloquence, you get some preset voices.
Voice window. One adult male selected, radio, press enter to select.
The Eloquence synthesizer has the adult male.
Two adult female
selected.
There's the adult female, so just
Dolphin.
Let you hear that.
Signal 62%, operator orange, battery 77%, headset. Three child unselected, radio present.
Selected. Four deep male unselected, radio.
Selected. Dolphin. 12:24 a.m. Tuesday 17/4/2007.
Okay, so letting you hear a few of the different voices there.
One adult male selected, radio, press enter to select.
Okay, so I've just hit one to go back to the standard read voice that most people will be familiar with. So you can of course choose between your various Eloquence voices there.
Advanced. Three voice window.
So I've pressed back.
For language.
We've got language. If you have more than one language installed, you can, of course, choose.
One synthesizer.
And we're back around there. So just going to
press
back. And the
four tools.
Final category, so just four categories in this Smart HAL control panel. The final category is tools. Going to take
tools.
Us in there.
One restore defaults window.
If your settings get messed up, then you just hit Dolphin 141, and that'll take you into the restore defaults dialog.
To show application notes.
Getting a little bit more techy now. A map is a series of instructions which tells how to work with a particular application. The notes for that will pertain to each particular situation. Not something that most people are going to need, I wouldn't have thought.
Three, choose map for home.
And you can choose map for the current application. We're currently using the home application because that's where we came from, the home screen. If we come from a different application, then Smart HAL would report something different there.
Four, remote train unselected, checkbox, press enter to toggle.
Very clever little feature, not something that we're currently offering to end users, but certainly dealers and Dolphin ourselves, we can use this little checkbox here to allow us to train new smartphone applications as they become available. So that's really the Smart HAL control panel. Hopefully we've organized the options into fairly logical groupings: speech, announce, advanced, and tools. So kind of progressing with you, you start out with very basic speech options such as speed and volume and so on, and verbosity, and as time goes on, then obviously you want to control what is announced, such as blank lines and links and so on. As you grow with the product, you may want to be able to choose between the synthesizers. That's not something that somebody's going to be doing frequently, and then moving on from that, then you've got these more advanced tools. So the Smart HAL control panel really designed in a very logical and progressive way, hopefully. So I'm going to take us back out to the home screen. I'll just do that by pressing the Dolphin key twice.
Windows settings, left soft start, right soft contacts.
Now, from anywhere while using the smartphone, you can, of course, change your various parameters. If I press the Dolphin key followed by 2.
Dolphin. Dolphin parameter synthesizer volume 7.
Okay, so I'm currently on volume 7. If I use the up and down arrow keys.
8, 9, 8, 6, 5, 4, 2, 3, 5, 6.
Okay, so as you can hear, I'm able to move between the various volume levels, but if I suddenly move from one environment to another, if I find myself going out from a quiet library, so I'm down here and I'm using level 1 in the quiet, so I'm not disturbing anybody, but then I go out into a busy street and I need to instantly increase the volume of Smart Hal, then I just hit the Dolphin key followed by 2, and then I choose the level then from number 1 to 9. So we were using, what was it, volume 7, I think? Hit 7?
Synthesizer volume 7.
So instantly we're able to do that. So we then go back into our quiet environment, so hit Dolphin 2 and then maybe volume 2, so I'm going to hit Dolphin.
Synthesizer volume 2.
So I hit Dolphin followed by 2 twice quite quickly, and I'm able to instantly jump to the level that I want, rather than having to, you know, keep stepping through. There's nothing more annoying than hearing somebody stepping through their settings, especially when they know the one they want. So let's go back to volume
Dolphin.
7.
Dolphin. Synthesizer volume 7.
So the same is true with the speed. I can press Dolphin 3.
Dolphin parameter synthesizer speed 2.
We're currently on speed 2 and go up to something a bit faster, speed 4.
Synthesizer speed 4.
And if I want to go back to 2.
Synthesizer speed 2.
So we're able to adjust that. I'm actually using a beta version of the product here, so the final version, those settings have been calibrated slightly differently. Let's talk about using the smartphone. After all, you've got a mobile phone and you're going to want to make some telephone calls with it. So we can do that and start to dial a number here.
0 5 8 3 5 5.
As I'm dialing the number, Smart Hal is reporting the digits, and that should be a fairly familiar number, although we will get a slightly unfamiliar message before it connects.
One moment, please. Access to the number you have dialed is not free of charge outside of the United States. If answered, you'll be charged international direct dialing rates for this call. If you do not want to proceed with this call, please hang up now.
Okay, I will hang up. As you can hear, I'm outside the US. I actually dialed the number for Tell Me there. So very, very straightforward. Obviously, it's just a telephone at the end of the day.
Settings, left soft start, right soft contacts.
Sometimes dialing telephone numbers on devices with QWERTY keyboards can be a little bit more challenging, and that's why many users tend to be going for a device with a telephone keypad, so that you've got that intuitive dialing capability. Now, what if the number was somebody who was in my contacts? Pretty much all telephone keypads now on cellular phones have letters that correspond to the digits. So the number 2 corresponds to the letters A, B, and C. The number 3 corresponds to the letters D, E, and F. The number 4 corresponds to letters G, H, I, 5, JKL, 6, MNO, 7, PQRS, 8, TUV, and 9, WX, Y, and Z, or Z. This is how one composes text messages. But on the Windows mobile smartphone, a little clever thing you can do here is you can retrieve one of your contacts using what they call predictive text. So if I tap in the first couple of letters of someone whose number that I'm wanting to retrieve, so in this case I'm going to look for Robert Young, I'm going to type in Y-O-U. So I'm going to type 9 6 9 6 8 8, and if I arrow down,
Young, Rob M.
There he is. So I haven't had to navigate through 391 contacts to locate my friend's number. So what can we do with this contact now that we've found it? I'm going to press the Dolphin key, followed by the left soft key to read our soft key labels.
Dolphin. Left soft save, right soft menu.
I can save the digits that I've typed in, assuming that 968 was the telephone number for somebody, which it isn't. Or I can bring up a menu for this particular contact. So I'm going to hit the right soft key.
Four items menu. One, open use cursor keys to select item. Enter to activate.
So,
one of four, left soft save, right soft menu. Two, call use cursor keys to select item. Three, send text message, use cursor keys to select item. Enter to activate.
Okay.
Three of four.
I don't think we should call Rob. It's pretty late, and I guess he'll have to be up early for work in the morning, as will I. But I'm just going to send him a very quick text message. So I've selected send a text message. I'm going to press the center of the navigation key, which is enter. And will be put into a new text message.
Window. Young. Text messages window 2. 7780.
Okay.
Blank line multi press edit area.
I probably shouldn't let you hear Rob's number, so I've just arrowed out there off the number into the text message edit area. Smart House said multi press, and what that means is that in order to get a character, you need to press each number on your phone multiple times. So, for example, if I wanted to write hello, I've got to do four twice, then three twice, and then five three times, and then five another three times. You know, one of the things I found when using multipress text message, that I'm never quite sure when I can enter another character. So, for example, if I type the first two letters of hello, I'm just going to type in four twice to get the H.
H.
And then I'm going to press three twice to get the E.
D-E.
Okay. Now I'm going to type in the letter L, but if I type in number five three times to get letter L, how do I know when I can do the second letter L? Well, that's what that little beep's for there. So if I press five three times,
J, K, L.
Okay, and then little beep signifies that the cursor has automatically moved to the next position and the phone is ready for me to enter another character. So I'm just going to type in another L.
J, K, L.
Then I will type in O.
F-F-O.
So I've written the word hello, and I'm going to press the hash key to get a space. So those of you familiar with the Nokia phones will know that it's zero on the Nokia. On the smartphones, it's hash.
Space, good.
And what you've heard there is that the phone has attempted to predict my next word. Okay, so maybe I've written hello, good afternoon to somebody before now. The phone has attempted to predict that I want to write the word good. I don't want to write the word good, so I can either carry on typing or I can press the back key.
Removed.
Which removes the word good. Okay, so I'm going to write hello, Rob.
P-K-R-M-O. A, B, space.
The smartphone doesn't know what I want to write next, so I'm going to write this.
T, H, G, I, Q, S, spaces.
Ah, so I've written this, and then you heard space is. I do want the word is.
Space, A.
And I've pressed space, and it's predicted A, so I'm going to press space again.
Space, good.
I don't want good. This is a good. So I actually want to write the word test, so I'm just going to type T.
T. E.
Q. R. S.
Q. S. T. Space.
As you can hear, Smart HAL working really well with the text input there in multi-press mode. The occasions there where you didn't hear the beep was where I was typing a little bit faster. So obviously if you are comfortable with multi-press, as you type, then the beep is only going to be heard when the cursor moves automatically to the next position, not when you start to type a letter using a different key on the phone. We can move back through that text.
T S E T space A. space, S, I, space.
Okay.
S, I, H, T, H.
Okay, and I'm just moving around with the cursor keys and Smart Health reading the characters as I move through them. If I press the dolphin key followed by the right, joystick right.
Dolphin, this.
It'll read the current word. If I do that same command over again.
Dolphin, T-H-I-S.
So dolphin key followed by joystick right reads the current word. Dolphin key followed by right a second time will spell the current word. Dolphin key left will read the current character.
Dolphin, H.
And dolphin key followed by up will read the current line.
Dolphin, hello Rob, this is a test. S, space, I, S, space, A, space, T, E, S, T, space, dot, space.
I've just gone in and put a full stop there at the end. Once you become more comfortable and confident with multipress, you may in fact want to try predictive text, and this is where you press each key on your telephone keypad once. The phone will attempt to deduce the word based on the dictionary. This can sound pretty scary at first, but once you get to grips with predictive text, it's pretty awesome. So to change your text input mode, you hold down the star key. I'm going to do that now.
Six item. One symbols. Use cursor keys to select item. Enter to activate. One of six.
I want T9 from this menu, so I'm going to find it.
2123 ABC 4T 9 English.
Select
text messages. Hello Rob, this is a test. T9 edit area left soft send right soft menu.
Smart How tells us that we're in T9 when we're in the edit area, and of course the phone will remember that you're in T9 next time you come to write a text message. So Rob has just moved, so I'm going to wish him good luck in his new home. So I'm going to write the word good. So I only need press the 4 key once, followed by 6 twice, then followed by 3. So 4663 to get the word good. So let's do that now.
I. In. In. Good.
As I was typing, the phone was predicting what I wanted to write. So I pressed the 4 key once, and the phone predicted that I wanted the letter I. Then when I pressed the 6 key to get my second letter of the word good, the phone thought, ah, I know, he wants to write the word in, as in inside. Then when I pressed the 6 key again, the phone then thought, ah, maybe he wants the word in, as in Holiday Inn. When I hit the 3 to get the D, then, of course, we got good.
Space.
Good look.
K. Do. Luke. Luck.
Okay, so again, you can hear the predictions as I'm entering the characters. So I'm just pressing each number key once for the letter that I want.
Space.
Good look. I do want in now, so I'm going to type 4-6.
I. In.
Space.
Space. X. Yo. You. Your. Space.
The new, so 639.
Oh. Me. New. Space.
And then I want home, so I'm going to type 4663.
I. In. In. Good.
Ah. Wrong word, and I've pressed the right buttons. I've typed 4663, which should give me H-O-M-E. The phone thinks I want the word good. Well, I don't. I want the word home. So I now have a list of predictions that I can choose from. So I just press down arrow.
Home.
And home is the first one. So that's the one I want. So I can either put some punctuation in. So I'm going to press 1.
Home. Dot.
Okay, I actually want an exclamation mark, so here I can press down arrow.
Home, question. Home, exclamation.
So, I've got the one I want. I'm going to press space.
Space.
How do I send this now? Press the dolphin key and read my soft keys.
Dolphin. Left soft, send, right soft, menu.
Left soft is send, so I'm going to press the left soft key to send this.
Settings. Left soft, start, right soft, contacts.
And we've gone back to the home screen, but I think we might get a little alert.
Text messages, info message sent. Left soft, OK.
Okay, and
Settings. Left soft start, right soft contacts.
Windows Mobile will pop up with a little alert just to confirm that your message has in fact been sent. So, smartphones, absolutely rammed with features and available in lots of different shapes and sizes from a range of suppliers, a range of prices, and you have to really decide for yourself which device is going to be best for you in terms of features, functionality, and of course that all-important bottom line. But as you can hear, Smart HAL working really well with the Eloquence synthesizer on the Windows smartphone platform, and it's providing excellent access to all the features and functionality that you'll find on a Windows Mobile smartphone. Obviously, we haven't got enough time to take you through every application, but hopefully that's giving you a flavour of how easy it is to really make the most of some of the basic functions that you'll find on your Windows Mobile smartphone. If you'd like to contact me, I'm at Dolphin, and my email address is dave.williams@dolphinuk.co.uk. That's dave.williams@dolphinuk.co.uk. Or you can, of course, visit us online. There is actually a Smart HAL blog, and we certainly welcome any thoughts or feedback about that. You can get to the main Dolphin website at www.yourdolphin.com. That's www.yourdolphin.com. The Smart HAL blog is at shblog.yourdolphin.com. That's shblog.yourdolphin.com.
Regardless of race, creed, color, or party affiliation, should have the same information concerning United States currency as their sighted brethren.
Now, if you think this is a great idea, thanks to the American Council of the Blind, there is something you can do. You'll find a screen reader-friendly site and an online petition waiting for you at www.moneyforall.info.
That's www.money4all.info.
Come be a part of history with the American Council of the Blind. www.moneyforall.info.
Welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu Live. Opinions expressed during the show do not reflect the views of ACB Radio or the American Council of the Blind, its members, employees, or board of directors. If you would like to participate in the live show at 2 hours Universal on Wednesdays, please call toll-free 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Main Menu Live. This is Jeff Bishop, and we have with us, of course, my co-host, Daryl Shandro. Hello, Daryl. How's it going?
Going great.
Ah, great.
Fantastic show.
Yeah, we're all excited about that. And tonight we'll be hearing live from Dave Williams. We woke him up in the middle of the night, and he's happy to join us here tonight, which we're real excited about. Before we get to that, we have a few technology news stories we wanted to hit, and then we're going to hear from Jamie Pauls from Access Watch all about IE7 and RSS, and then we'll bring on the familiar voice we just got done listening to, Mr. Dave Williams from Dolphin. So, the first thing that I wanted to mention, and it's sort of timely that Dave actually dialed Tellme, is that Tellme has started a new service, a new business listing service. Now, Daryl, as you and I both know, because you and I have played with both of them, there's Free 411 and there's Goog 411. And now TellMe has business listings. And I played with it a little bit, and it was quite good because it allowed you to narrow down what business you actually wanted. You could say, for example, you could say Pizza Hut. And then it would say, okay, well, which one do you want? And it would list you by street, which ones were available. And then you could actually tell it, I want the one on Speedway, or I want the one on Oracle. And it would go ahead and give you that information. The only thing that is missing from the TellMe service, unlike Goog 411, and I think Free 411 does this as well, you can actually do text messaging of that number to your phone. Now, I know you can actually do it with TellMe from your phone directly, but you have to send a text message to TellMe, and it will send it back to you. So while the audio version of it is, I think, better than both Goog 411 and Free 411, I think the text messaging part of it is not as good. So you wanted to talk about SoundForge 9.
Yeah, so... I was going to say something, though, on the TellMe, on the business search for TellMe. Was it able to find what you were looking for? Because I know we were playing with Google a little bit this weekend and not having a whole lot of success.
Well, I think part of that had to do with the fact that we were dealing with it on a speakerphone. And so, so we had a little bit of difficulties with that. But, no, it was quite good. In fact, I had it even find... had it even find things that were pretty esoteric, and TellMe was able to do it pretty easily.
And it did not require operator assistance?
No, not at all, no. Now, I don't think it auto-dials, unlike Goog 411, and I think Free 411 does. It just gives you the number, so you have to, write it down or memorize it or something, and then, hang up and dial it.
But, not too big of a deal.
No, but I think, the audio capabilities of the TellMe service, I think, are superior right now than Google and Free 411. But that's, this space is really, really crowded, and it's going to change. So who knows?
It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Hey, SoundForge 9.0 was released last week. And if you have a previous version of SoundForge and you would like to upgrade for a pretty substantial discount, you can get it for $100. $99.95, so $100 until May 31st, and the price goes up to $150. So SoundForge 9 includes quite a few enhancements. Even the famous SoundForge noise reduction facility, which used to be I believe it was $250 extra, that is now included in SoundForge 9, along with a lot of other plugins and other neat features, including multi-channel support. Not multi-track, but multi-channel, as in surround sound and goodies of that sort. If you want to know how it works from a blindness perspective, it's a bit different. Apparently, things look the same, but are different under the hood. Jim Snowbarger's scripts for SoundForge 8 and below currently do not work on SoundForge 9. He's working out some issues. And apparently WindowEyes is reportedly working a little better with it, but there's some differences there as well. One very important thing to do after you've installed SoundForge 9 is to turn off the channel meter. If that's on, which it is by default, then both JAWS and WindowEyes will be very sluggish during record and somewhat sluggish during playback as well.
Yeah,
so
it's even sluggish doing review of the screen as well, both with WindowEyes and JAWS.
It's pretty much a dog, isn't it?
Yeah, there's something going on there that... Now, playback, I have not had a problem with WindowEyes as much as I did with JAWS. Recording with JAWS was really, really bad. WindowEyes, I didn't have a problem with that, but I could not review the screen unless I turned off the meters. There's something going on the screen that's really wreaking havoc.
You've got to go into the View menu, which you can do with an Alt-V, and then just down arrow to channel meters and press enter to uncheck the box, and you'll notice a huge improvement right away. So
absolutely,
you've pretty much got to do that if you're a screen reader user. After you've installed SoundForge 9, you've got to do that. One other good thing about SoundForge 9 is it does not overwrite SoundForge 8.
Yeah, that's similar to the older versions.
Right. Now, I would recommend anybody who is using Jim scripts, watch www.snowmanradio.com. There is actually a page under the scripts section. There's a SoundForge 9 scripts page where he's commenting about his experiences thus far in writing the SoundForge 9 scripts. So that's definitely a good site to stay tuned to for that information.
Absolutely, and it's updated quite a bit. I mean, almost daily, actually, which is quite good. WindowEye 6.1, the final version, was released on Monday. It's available for download for those of you that have the ability to upgrade to 6.1. And if you own 6.0, then you're entitled to 6.1. It's a free upgrade. GW Micro announced today on their blog as well as on their mailing lists that those who ordered the CD for the Vista version of WindowEye, because you're going to need that for Vista, it's $5 for those of you who weren't aware. If you've already ordered it, you should receive it either this week or very early next week. So that's great. I ordered mine, and so I'm excited to get that in the mail. But if you already have 6.0, you can go to www.gwmicro.com/upgrade and put in your serial number, and you can download the 6.1 release. There, if you wait for the CD and you uninstall 6.0 and you install 6.1 fresh, then you will notice that the directory structure is quite a bit different. It's similar to the way that most Windows applications are now structured, in that all of your set files and things will be stored under your application data folder, and we won't get too heavily into that tonight, but expect that to be different if you do go ahead and install 6.1 fresh, in other words, removing 6.0 and then installing 6.1 on your system. So this is really due to Vista. Vista really requires this now, and so it was brought forward to the XP 2000-2003 releases as well if you do not do an upgrade. All right, well, that ends our technology news segment, and we're going to hear now from Jamie Pauls, and then we'll be back with Dave Williams.
All right.
This week I'd like to talk to you about subscribing to RSS feeds using Internet Explorer version 7.0. If you're looking for a really simple way to subscribe to RSS feeds, you don't want to mess with programs that you have to install on your computer, and perhaps you don't download a lot of material at one time, Internet Explorer version 7 just might be your answer. If you go to acbradio.org and do a search for the word podcast, you will find two links, one for the Main Menu program and the other for Main Menu Live. Click on one of those links, just press enter on it, and you should hear a message stating that you are viewing a feed. At that point, you can press Alt-T and the letter F to subscribe to this feed. You can choose to leave it in the Feeds folder, where it is placed by default, or you can create a new folder, say ACB Radio, where you can put both podcast feeds if you wish to do so. When you get ready to check the feed to see if there are any new postings, press Control-J. You'll see a nice list of the feeds that you're subscribed to, and the word new by any feed which has a new post. You can tell Internet Explorer to check for feeds in increments as small as 15 minutes or as large as 1 week. Give it a try, and come visit us at www.accesswatch.info. Have a great week.
You're listening to Main Menu Live, airing at 2 hours Universal on Wednesday. Toll free, 866-400-5333. That's 866-400-5333.
And yes, we do have the phone lines open, 866-400-JEFF, 866-400-5333. And Dave, welcome back to Main Menu, and actually Main Menu Live now.
Absolutely, it's a pleasure to be here, Jeff, and it was great to meet you at the CSUN conference there in LA just a couple of weeks ago.
Absolutely, you know, we had all intentions of actually recording a Main Menu segment, and we just got too busy chatting and learning about each other and just reminiscing about things, and I think we got out of there about, what, 10:30 at night? Something like that.
We were sat down and we got talking and 2 hours just disappeared in a split second. It was remarkable.
It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. It was really, really neat. And Dave Williams does not look anything like I expected him to look. And he said,
"Well, you're looking pretty good for a blind guy, Jeff."
Yeah.
How did you expect me to look?
I don't know. We won't talk about that because I think you might do the same to me, and that may not be safe. We actually already have a caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hello, this is Beth from Newport News, Virginia. Hope everybody's doing great tonight.
Oh, we're doing great,
there, Beth.
Great.
Hi, Beth.
How can we help you? Well, I have a question, and it's not 100% on topic, but it does have to do with mobile phones.
Okay.
And the question is this. I don't remember which podcast was shown on last week's show. I've heard so many of them, I'm confused now. But I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but it doesn't matter what screen reader you're using, I wouldn't think. On the podcast that talked about the Mobile Speak smartphone and Mobile Speak Pocket, there was DeckTalk was used. It sounds very different, and it was Perfect Paul. It sounds very different from the DeckTalk that I have on my computer with FreedomBox. The one with Mobile Speak had a definite German accent, and I wondered if you know what I mean. Number one, and number two, if you can tell me what's the difference? Are there different types of DeckTalks? Is there one for mobile devices and one for stationary devices?
Okay.
And I'll hang up and listen on the air.
Okay, great. Thanks, Beth.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Okay. Now, I know a little bit about this just from the standpoint that I know that there's different versions of DeckTalk Access 32 for the PC that are available, and many of those sound vastly different. Now, have you had much experience with this, Dave?
Okay, so I can't really comment, obviously, about the specific mobile speak, because obviously... SmartHal really is the alternative to mobile speak, and so we're actually offering the Eloquence speech synthesizer, and those listening in the previous hour, hopefully Eloquence was sounding just fine. Do let us know if it wasn't. But I think there's a general feeling amongst the blind community that just DeckTalk overall really just isn't what it was, and never seems to have regained the clarity and the crispness that seemed to be in DeckTalk, 10, 15 years ago. I don't know if that's been your experience, Daryl and Jeff.
Yeah, that has been my experience. What about you, Daryl?
I would have to agree. The old external DeckTalks and the DeckTalk internal PC, internal cards were the best, and the DeckTalk Express was all right, and the DeckTalk in the reading Edge machines, and then man, after that, when they started going to the Access 32 and the software speech, it just doesn't sound the same.
Well, now,
yeah, and I think that was borne out when we started to design SmartHal, our screen reader for Windows Mobile smartphones last summer, and we did some research and asked a few people, and we said, look, you know, what synthesizer do you want? And, you know, at that time, Dolphin had a vested interest in this, because Dolphin, of course, developed our own speech synthesizer, Orpheus,
which has a
small yet really loyal following. And, you know, almost unanimously, it came back, and people said to us, look, just give us Eloquence. That's the voice we know. That's the synthesizer we're familiar with. It might not be the best at everything, but people are right in their comfort zone with Eloquence. And, you know, about 10 years ago, a lot of people were crying out for DeckTalk and, you know, complaining about the cost of DeckTalk because people really adored it. And, of course, Patrick Patrick Perdue and others really popularized the singing deck talk well. And I think we all had a lot of great fun with deck talk in the past. But I listened to deck talk today on mobile devices or on the desktop, and it just to me anyway. And this is just my personal view, not that of Dolphin, but it just doesn't sound the way it used to. And,
no.
Maybe I'm, looking at it through my, good old days headphones or something, but I really just don't think it has what it had.
Well, that's very true, and that even was true with the later versions of the DeckTalk Express firmware. Mm-hmm. I think the last version that was any good was 4.6, and everything after that sort of went crazy, and you definitely kept your 4.6 around.
I wonder whether the classic DeckTalk source code is lying around anywhere. DeckTalk was owned by all sorts of different people, wasn't it? I think it's Phonics now that have DeckTalk, but wasn't it owned by two or three different companies over a relatively short space of time? And
I think it was.
I wonder whether something's fallen between the cracks there.
Yeah. Well, one of the questions that I had, and I found your review tonight extremely good. It really made the phone feel like you were really using a screen reader on the phone, which I think really was your intent, right, Dave?
Okay, so there are sort of two approaches, really, because what has happened in the past, people that have made screen readers for mobile phones have really done it from the ground up. So they've started from the phone, and then they've added the screen reading functionality to that. Whereas what Dolphin have done is Dolphin are an established developer of assistive technology. We've been developing screen readers and screen magnifiers for the desktop for 20 years. And just this last week, we released HALS version 7.03. And so what we've tried to do really is to take a desktop screen reader and really crunch it down so that we can get it onto a mobile device. So HAL has a heck of a lot of features on the desktop. I would go as far as to say, some of the most comprehensive verbosity and style settings that you'll find almost in any screen reader. And we really had to almost cherry pick which features in HAL, we were going to put on the phone, because clearly, it's not appropriate to have, verbosity settings for, 78 different types of controls and style settings for all these different types of situations. And, you don't want to confuse people too much, because at the end of the day, most people coming to this just want a talking cell phone. They don't want all the, convoluted that you sometimes find with a fully fledged screen reader. So we really had to go back to basics and think about, right, we've got a phone here, let's make it talk, and let's give people the commands that they're perhaps familiar with from the screen reader, things like read word, read character, read line, and stuff like that. But we don't need to get too complex with it. And of course, you've got a limited amount of real estate there on the phone, not only in terms of the buttons that are available to you, so you have to be fairly limited, in terms of what hotkeys you can provide. Desktop screen readers have the luxury of being able to choose between sort of an alt, control, shift, and maybe a screen reader modifier, which is, an insert or a caps lock, and any permutation of those, in combination with any of the alphabetic or numeric. You've got hundreds and hundreds of permutations, so you can have a hotkey for pretty much anything. But, the reality is that most users really only use, perhaps, half a dozen or a dozen hotkeys on a regular basis. So we really had to think quite carefully with SmartHAL how we were going to design it and how it was going to work in the real world for people that, that just want a talking cell phone.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things I know you before you went to work for Dolphin, you were a Talks user, right, Dave?
Yeah, and I still have Talks. Talks really inspired me in many ways, and so obviously you'll find a little bit of inspiration there in terms of the hotkeys that you see in SmartHAL. So basically, SmartHAL is Talks for the smartphone. So if you've got Talks and you like Talks, but you're actually thinking, do you know what, I'd like to use something other than a Nokia phone, then SmartHAL is a really logical choice, because it's using the same synthesizer and a similar hotkey layout.
Right. Well, now, if someone were to, you know, think about, well, do I go smartphone or do I stay on Nokia, you know, with Symbian technology, have you found, and I have not really been able to get a good answer from people on this, have you found that the software and the feature set that's available on the smartphone side of things is as capable as, say, on the Symbian side? What do you think you lose or gain?
Lose on which
well, either way, on smartphone? Either way, right? Like, what do you lose if you move from, say, Symbian to smart? You know, for example, I know that there's not a lot of GPS technology currently on the market right now for smartphones that's accessible yet. Now, you could.
That's right. This is true. I have to say, I didn't really use GPS a whole lot on the Symbian side either. I have evaluated it, but I think the difficulty with GPS is that what we're all trying to do, Dolphin and Code Factory, and to some extent Freedom Scientific, is to take a mainstream GPS product and try to customize it to make it a bit more useful for somebody who is blind, who is a pedestrian. But you know, the reality is that most of these GPS products really were designed for people who were driving, not for people who are walking around. So
yeah.
I think GPS really has yet to mature on mobile phones. I don't know that I would put my life in its hands. But it can be a great tool for planning a route, and we're at the moment developing a map file for Windows Live Search, which is available free from Microsoft, and also supports GPS, and you can plot routes in that and get information, sort of GPS type information. But it's not going to be the sort of the polished solution that you might expect from something like the Trekker, which is clearly, you know, a blindness specific GPS solution. But to go back to your original question, you know, I was faced with this. I was carrying around my Nokia phone and my Windows Mobile smartphone together, and I have one in each pocket, you know. And the night before I went to CSUN, I went over to my sister's place. And, you know, we had pizza and we were just sort of hanging out. And I came back and I had to get away quite early on the Monday to go and catch my flight to L.A. And I realized that I'd left my Nokia phone at my sister's, and I didn't have time to go get it. And so I thought, you know, I really need to get that as soon as I get back. And when I got back, I didn't go straight around to my sister's house and get it. I didn't miss my Nokia phone, you know, as much as I like the design of many of the Nokia phones. I like the Torx software. I think about the only thing that I can think of that I miss is I think the Nokia phones boot up a little bit quicker, and that's really a small thing. And you tend to find that when you're using a mobile phone screen reader, whether it be on Symbian or Windows Mobile, you're not restarting your phone as much anyway, because when you don't have a mobile phone screen reader, you know, you go into a meeting, you're not quite sure how to change the profile because the phone won't speak to you, so you just turn the thing off. Whereas when you've got a mobile phone screen reader on it, you can take greater control of it, and so you can put it into vibrate or, you know, a silent profile and so on. So that's really not a big issue, but that's about the only negative, really. And there are certainly many advantages with the Windows Mobile smartphone. I like Active Sync a little bit better than the Symbian equivalent. It seems a little bit more accessible. I like the fact that I don't have all that mucking around with bespoke cables for Nokia phones. Many of the Nokia phones, you've got to use the cable that came with the phone. You can't just use any cable. I find that the synchronization, you know, Microsoft have designed the smartphone to be seamless, to really fit into your overall sort of Outlook experience. So the synchronization there works really well. A lot of people say to me that, you know, they like the fact that, you know, their Windows controls on the smartphone that they're already, you know, familiar with. There are some subtle differences, but by and large, there is a degree of familiarity for somebody who's already been using a screen reader and, you know, desktop windows when they pick up a smartphone. And there are a whole raft of other things. I get shortcuts to my recently used applications on my home screen. I didn't get that on my Nokia phone. That might be available in some of the newer Nokia phones. I haven't explored the very latest and greatest from Nokia. And of course, it's good to have a bit of variety. And I think the key thing, just as a blind person, not as a smart HAL, champion of that product, is that, you know, the more options that people have, and you know, your last caller said that it can be confusing, but that's only because we as blind people in the past have had so few choices, and we're not used to having choices. And, you know, sighted people can go into a shop and they can choose from, you know, any one of dozens of phones, and they can decide any phone that, well, I'll have that one, you know, and they don't have to consider all these accessibility things. And, you know, the more mainstream technology is made accessible by, you know, companies like Nuance, Code Factory and Dolphin, I just think we gain.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Daryl, do you remember Chris Hofstetter's blog post about the GPS systems on phones and such things?
Right.
There was a really interesting, I don't know if you saw this, Dave, or not. I don't know if you read his blind
carpet. Yes, I did see that.
Yeah, the thing about, you know, that if you're not walking more than 5 miles an hour, that they're not they don't even work.
There were a lot of limitations, and he basically concluded that it's not prime time yet.
No, which essentially was what I was just saying, really, that
exactly.
It needs to, GPS really needs to mature a little bit there. I think he said of all the ones that he tried, Copilot seemed to work reasonably well. I'm currently in the process of evaluating that because, you know, clearly there is a demand now for GPS. A lot of people want GPS, and they want it in a small, compact device. They don't want to have to carry around a bulky note taker. If you're just, you know, going into the town or something, you want to find something in your local town, you know, you shouldn't have to take, a huge, expensive piece of equipment with you. You just want your cell phone and a GPS receiver. So, I think, I don't think Dolphin are alone in looking at the various options that are available, and we're trying to find something that, you know, is going to be usable, is going to be affordable, and of course, accessible.
Absolutely. The number is 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. And, Daryl, you got MSN going, don't you?
I do. The address for that is mainmenu@acbradio.org.
Okay, great.
So definitely send us a MSN Windows Live message.
Absolutely.
Well, that's all right. Listen, if people are, you know, sat at home in stunned silence, or that's fine. It's 3 o'clock in the morning here. So, you know, I was sort of a bit anxious that I was going to be half asleep on this. So,
oh, you're sounding great, actually.
Doing just fine.
Now, Dave, one of the interesting things was this. Now, I don't remember the name of the checkbox, but I believe it was under either advanced or tools for training the phone for a specific application. And I know
right.
that you mentioned this, that this was specifically a Dolphin or, you know, dealer type feature. Can you talk to us a little bit about, because I find this very, very intriguing, because I'm not sure that, you know, I'm not really sure that there's any other manufacturer out there that has something like this built into, you know, a screen reader for a mobile phone. Can you talk to us about, you know, how, for example, let's say there's a brand new smartphone application out and you want it to be accessible. I would have to think that a company like Tox or Code Factory would have to, you know, work on that application internally with their application to get it to be accessible, unless it used, you know, very, very standardized controls that it probably could deal with. Whereas you guys, it seems, at least from what it's sounding like, that you don't have to necessarily do that.
That's right. So essentially there are kind of two levels of development going on at Dolphin. Basically, we have our research and development company, Dolphin Oceanic, who actually write the core of the product. So they write kind of the engine, really, of the product that does all the detection of what's going on screen and all of that. And so then we're able to pass all that information to the screen reader. And then I guess the next level of development is, well, you know, we say, well, okay, we've got all this information. What do we want the screen reader to do with it? How do we want that information to be reported to the user? So on the desktop, for example, we have a series of detection methods that help build our off-screen model. So, of course, Windows information, MSAA information, shape detection, and various other detection methods. Populate a tree view of everything that appears on screen with as much information that we can get using all the different detection methods, and then it's the map, really, that sorts all that information out and presents that to you in a form that's going to be accessible. So on the smartphone, of course, the core of that is still there, because this is a product that has been developed off the back of a fully fledged desktop screen reader. We have that power already in the product, and that checkbox there basically allows us to, by default, the remote training is off, but what you can do is to put that on and then connect it to a PC, and then your dealer or Dolphin then can train an application, and we need to think very carefully about if that's something we want to support at the end user level. But I think the key thing to say about the smartphone is, you know, we are getting a bit techie here. The beauty of the smartphone, because it is such an organized and simple interface, everything's in sort of numbered lists, and you've got these soft keys to access the menus and so on. The vast majority of smartphone applications that we have tried just work right out of the box, or you know, right off the website that you've downloaded them from. I've used the Core Media Player and Skype as well. I've got Wi-Fi here at home, so I'm able to put Skype onto my smartphone and make calls, and it works. I don't know that necessarily the phone's processor is really up to the task of running a VoIP client and a screen reader, so things can get a little bit sluggish when you're doing that, but it does work, and so that really bodes well for the future as the processors in these devices become faster, and of course as we optimize our screen reading code, and as Microsoft optimize the Windows Mobile platform. Of course, as you heard in the last hour, Dolphin announcing support for Windows Mobile 6 before devices are even on the market. You know, we've been working with Windows Mobile 6, and as the platform matures and evolves, and the screen reader and the devices, things are looking very positive for the future, I think.
Do you know?
Yes, I have a follow-on question for you, Dave. In your demo, you mentioned there will be three varieties of Windows Mobile 6: Classic, Standard, and Professional. And you're talking about support for Windows Mobile 6 Standard. What are Classic and Professional? And are you saying that those are not?
Okay, so. Dolphin haven't made any announcements in respect of the other platforms, so I can't give you anything official there. But what I can say is I can describe to you a little bit about the Windows Mobile 6 flavors. So the classic Windows Mobile 6 classic is for what Microsoft describes as non-connected devices. So this might be like a classic style PDA that does not have any kind of cellular phone capability in there, and some people are still using those for specific applications. Windows Mobile 6 Standard, which is the one that we're supporting, really supersedes the smartphone platform. So those devices are first and foremost going to be telephones. They're going to be cell phones. They're going to be devices with telephone keypads on them, in many cases, and they're not going to have a touch screen. So those are the devices that we've announced that we're going to be supporting. Now, the Windows Mobile 6 Professional is the equivalent to the Pocket PC phones. So these are PDAs with a phone in, so typically you might expect an integrated QWERTY keyboard to be on those devices, and those devices will have a touch screen. And what Microsoft are saying is that each manufacturer can cherry pick the various components that they want to put on there, so they can choose whether they want the ability to read and edit you know, Microsoft Office documents. The Windows Mobile 6 includes the Voice Commander application, which used to be available separately. You have to buy that separately. That's going to be built in there as part of Windows Mobile 6. You also get Windows Update, which is really weird, seeing Windows Update on your phone.
Yeah.
As part of that. So it's really up to the manufacturers, and we've yet to see devices come onto the market and see what components the manufacturers are actually putting in the devices. But you know, we obviously have kind of, you know, development builds of Windows Mobile 6 on which we've been testing, and we know that it works. We can say with confidence that Smart HAL does work. So as soon as devices are available, they will be supported by Smart HAL. And I think it's fair to say that there will be an evolution of Dolphin's mobile product line, because, of course, Dolphin also have Pocket HAL, which is our full screen reader for the Pocket PC platform. This is PDAs and PDA phones. And so the whole line will obviously, you know, mature to reflect the changes in Windows Mobile 6.
All right, great. We have a caller. Let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, and welcome to Main Menu Live.
Hey, how you doing, Jeff? It's Jesse.
Hey, Jesse.
Hi, Jesse.
Good.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, how you doing, Daryl and Mr. Dave Williams?
Hello.
Hey, how's everything over there in England?
Well, I guess it's pretty dark right now because it's in the middle of the night, but I think summer's come early. We've had some really nice days of sunshine, so everything's pretty good at the moment.
That's good. Jeff, I was calling to refer back to a thing that you had said in the previous Main Menu of last week.
Uh-huh.
About Singular not having unlimited messaging packages.
I've looked into that. And yeah, there's a way to do it. It all depends on the phone that you get as far as the pricing plan.
Mm-hmm.
What they're advertising for Singular now is for an additional $5 per month, you can get unlimited text messaging.
Yeah.
That also depends on the phone, though, because...
Oh, does it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we need to get Susan Mesrui on. She can talk to us all about this, too. But my understanding is that a lot of these require a data plan, though, as well. And so, for example, I was looking at buying the Blackjack, which is a phone that's currently offered by Singular, mm-hmm. or the new AT&T. And
I've actually seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it too, and I'm not really impressed with it, unfortunately, from a keyboard standpoint. Maybe we can talk about that. But
I can tell you that Smart HAL works on it, Jeff.
Yeah, I bet you can.
I can't help with the keyboard, I'm afraid, but we can make it talk.
One curious thing that I wanted to ask Mr. Williams.
Sure,
go ahead. What are the possibilities of HAL coming to a platform such as Symbian?
Why don't we go ahead and answer that question for you, Jesse, and off the air?
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Welcome.
Okay, so it's a great question, Jesse. So the question was, what are the chances of HAL coming to a platform like Symbian? Well, Dolphin have been developing for the Microsoft platforms for 20 years now. We go right back to to the days of DOS, and then of course into Windows 9X and NT, obviously Windows XP, and soon Windows Vista, of course support for Windows Mobile with Pocket HAL and Smart HAL. So there's a real logical progression there in terms of our product development and continuing to support the Microsoft development environments. The other thing to say is that Dolphin are the first established screen reader company to create a screen reader for mobile phones. And, you know, we very much respect the fact that we are the third company to come to market with a screen reader for mobile phones. So I think, you know, we're obviously, you know, on a learning curve, learning about what people want from mobile phones and how well the product works for people in real world situations. So the short answer to the question, I bet you wish I'd given this earlier, the short answer to the question is there are no immediate plans to get a, you know, the whole new development environment for our products, and there would be a lot of resources and time that would go into that, and my fear would be that our existing product line, you know, would, you know, there's a danger that you know, you neglect what you have when you're, you know, continually trying to move into new areas. So I think what we want to do is to consolidate with Windows Mobile. We certainly had some really positive feedback about Smart HAL. Smart HAL is the first Dolphin product that I've had direct involvement with throughout the development process, and I've had some you know, really encouraging feedback about that. And I think the next step now is to, you know, is to basically evolve the mobile product line into Mobile 6 and beyond, and see how that plays out. And I think we are, you know, bringing a real alternative. You know, Talks and Nuance, I've met Torsten and Marcus, who are the guys that created Talks. Fantastic story, you know, where I've covered it on Main Menu before when I was in Jeff's seat there. And it's great. The blind guy at university writes to a sighted programmer to get an accessible version of his book. They start exchanging emails, then they start collaborating on some software projects, and the next thing you know, they've made some Nokia phones talk, and Nuance, you know, are kind of moving in and buying, you know, buying the company, and it's a, you know, it's an amazing story, and I admire what has been achieved there, certainly that has inspired Smart HAL. So hopefully we're bringing a real, you know, real alternative there. So I think for now, the answer to the question is we're probably going to stick with Windows Mobile for the foreseeable.
Yeah, it sounds like that would be a huge undertaking to, you know, basically you'd pretty much have to throw away the, you know, all your code and start over.
Well, that's right. It's not a trivial task to port from, you know, it's a completely different architecture, you know, between Windows Mobile and Symbian, and while on the, you know, on the user end there may, you know, appear to be some similarities. You've got the concept of, you know, soft keys and the various sort of types of applications. Obviously there's a, you know, media player and a browser and so on. So, you know, while from a user end there, you know, there may appear to be some parallels, actually underneath the way in which it's structured and coded is completely different.
Absolutely. Well, before we, because the hour is almost up already, amazingly enough.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Before we let you go, though, we wanted to touch a little bit on the HAL and Supernova, you know, line of things, to find out what's new. And I actually went to the presentations at CSUN, and it sounds like there's some quite a bit of excitement in that area as well. And I know that's not your area that you're really responsible for, Dave, but I thought maybe you'd give us a quick update on what's going on the Windows side of the house in reference to screen reader and screen magnifier.
Absolutely, yeah.
Versions.
So the family of products is the Luna screen magnifier, the HAL screen reader, and Supernova, still the world's first combined, fully fledged screen reader magnifier that runs seamlessly. So it's a kind of a one-stop solution, really popular in libraries and colleges where you know, the network administrators just want to have a single product to maintain, and they don't know, you know, who's going to come through the door in terms of, is it somebody who's going to be low vision, somebody who's going to be blind, or somebody whose sight fluctuates. So Supernova providing synchronized speech, braille, and magnification, combining the capabilities of Luna and HAL, and we're up to version 7.03. 7.03 was a maintenance release. It was a free update for our version 7 customers, and really it's mostly fixes in there and improvements to the performance on the web. We've also got support in there now for things like lists of controls on web pages, and we've included support for the Super Vario Brilliant line of the new line of displays there with the input keys, because one of the key features in version 7 screen reading products from Dolphin is the ability to have literary grade 2 input as well as output. So you can sit there with your braille display and write grade 2 into Word and read grade 2 on your braille display, but actually in Word, if you navigate around with your cursor keys, you've got, you know, the complete text there. So all the back translation is, you know, is being done on the fly. You haven't got to you haven't got to worry about that. So obviously we're very keen to support those braille devices that have the input keys right on the braille terminal, which is great because you don't have to keep moving your hands backwards and forwards between the, you know, the QWERTY keyboard and the braille display. Work on Vista is at a fairly advanced stage. Generally, Dolphin's policy has been not to release public betas. We want to release something that's finished, because what tends to happen is that you know, you release a public beta and people go and try it, and then of course they want support with it, and you know, we think our resources are, you know, are better spent on making sure that the product is right without that, you know, without having to focus on that. And so we announced at the end of January that our Vista support, which will be version 8, is going to be free for our version 7 users, so people won't have to buy an upgrade, and our intent is to release support for Windows Vista this quarter.
All right.
Okay, so this quarter meaning April, May, June.
That's right,
Time frame, okay. So, okay. All right, great. That's very, very exciting news.
Yeah, it's working. I mean, it needs to work in all those areas, the secure areas. You know, we don't want to have to, you know, give people a shopping list of things that they need to turn off in order to get it to work. It needs to support all the security dialogues in Vista and the login screen and all of that, and that's working. You know, we've got some work to do with gadgets that we've been playing with, and so you know, work is progressing, and it's really exciting on a day-to-day basis. So I usually go and stick my head around the door and see how it's going, you know, and I get beta software obviously to test on my test machine. Certainly I have a vested interest, while, you know, my focus is the mobile products. Clearly, you know, I have an interest in what's going on the desktop, because, you know, I use those products every day. I have Windows Vista at home now, so it's gotta work.
Yeah, that's right. Now,
I think the other thing to say, Jeff, very quickly, appreciate you being low on time, is that obviously there's a lot of excitement about Windows Vista, and quite right too. Often when you buy a machine these days, Vista is preloaded. But, you know, if somebody's using Windows XP and it ain't broke, then, you know, there's no pressure to change that immediately. XP is going to continue to be supported by Microsoft at least for another year, probably another year after that. Internet Explorer 7, Windows Live Search, and Windows Live Messenger, and so on. Many of the things that are bundled with Vista are free updates for the XP platform. So XP obviously is still, you know, the most popular flavor of Windows out there, and will continue to be so for quite some time.
And in fact, if you're doing certain types of audio production or audio / video conversion, you may want to avoid Vista for a while.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we found that during testing, one of the issues with Vista is device drivers. and that one of our machines, we put Vista on it, and basically the sound card wouldn't work. And I would say that's fairly critical for somebody who's using a screen reader, that the sound card's doing its thing. So, you know, you need to check all your hardware is going to be compliant. And, you know, I think most people, they're going to get Vista when they get a new machine. That's when you're going to be getting into Vista. Putting Vista on existing machines is going to be challenging at best.
Yeah. Well, we had the president of Applian on here on Main Menu Live, and he told us that a lot of the sound card manufacturers are not allowing you to do sound recording from the sound card itself, you know, due to DRM restrictions, and so that's kind of frightening. Yeah. Well, Dave, we're nearing the end of the hour here, and we wanted to give you an opportunity to give everybody your contact information and how we might be able to reach you if we have any further questions.
Absolutely. So thanks for having me on, Jeff. I really, you know, appreciate the opportunity, and he definitely kept his word, this man. And he said to me at CSUN, he said, you know, we'll have you on in April. And look where we are. So right bang in the middle of April. So if people want to find out more about Dolphin's range of desktop access software, or even our DAISY software for the production and playback of the new digital accessible information standard DAISY, or even the mobile products, Pocket HAL for PDA or Smart HAL, which you heard in the previous hour, for smartphone, then there's information about all of that on the yourdolphin.com website. So it's www.yourdolphin.com. And we have actually got a Smart HAL blog on there, so people can keep up with what's going on with Smart HAL, and that's at shblog.yourdolphin.com. And if people do want to drop me a line at work, then you can do that. And my email address, he says, deep breath. I always vowed that I would never give this out on ACB Radio, but here we go. It's dave.williams@dolphinuk.co.uk. That's dave.williams@dolphinuk.co.uk. And I do get a lot of emails, so do bear with me. If it's just general technical support that you require, then just drop through to the website. There's a lot of very, very capable people in technical support who will be able to answer the vast majority of your questions. But if it is something specific for me, then obviously don't hesitate in getting in touch, and I'll be delighted to hear from you.
One of the questions that we had in email earlier this week was, are you planning on putting out a podcast? Is there going to be a Dolphin podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Is there going to be a Dolphin podcast? Well, there lies the question. Well, the interesting thing is that tonight's presentation for Smart HAL, I did put a link to it in the blog, and it appears that it's come up as an enclosure. So I guess technically we already have.
That's all a podcast is.
Yeah, basically. And of course, in September last year, during the Pocket HAL tour, we kept a blog, and we did some podcasting there. So I think there will be specific podcasts for specific purposes. At the moment, we don't have any immediate plans to have a general podcast each month or anything like that, because of course some months, you know, everyone's busy,
right, just,
you know,
doing development.
Development, and yeah, we've got time to make a podcast. So there'll be podcasts as and when, really, and they of course will be announced. So you might want to sign up for you know, for our announcements list.
All right, great. Again, Dave, thank you very, very much for joining us, and we really do appreciate it. It's been pleasure.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Daryl. It's great to be on.
Absolutely.
And hello to everybody in ACB Radio Land.
That's right. Welcome back. All right.
Good to be back.
Next week on Main Menu and Main Menu Live, in the first hour, we'll hear from President of ACB, Chris Gray. He'll be talking to us all about a new accessible talking glucometer that he has that's in development right now. And then in the second hour, we're going to be talking all things Office 2007 and accessible PDF. That's what's coming up next week on Main Menu and Main Menu Live. We'll see all of you next week.
If you would like to contact the Main Menu production team or panel of experts heard this evening on Main Menu Live, then simply send an email to mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. If you have suggestions for topics or you have questions that you would like to have addressed on a future edition of Main Menu Live, then email us and we'll do what we can to answer them or cover your suggested topics on a future Main Menu Live. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week on ACB Radio Mainstream for another Main Menu Live.